Hey, folks, this is, I don't know what this is. This is a random edition of the Stunt Granny Audio with Eric and Dusty. I'm babbling, sorry. I actually cut Dusty off about 1 minute ago. We wanted to do an audio tonight, and we started talking about wrestling, Judgment Day, whatever, maybe other topics. And then Dusty said, we should talk about music. I said, yeah. Stop right there, and we'll talk about music.
Hell yeah. All right.
So now that the record button has been hit, we're actually talking about Fleetwood Mac. So, Dusty, I'm sorry I interrupted your train of thought, but tell me more about Fleetwood Mac from its origins, even.
Okay, well, what I was reading was they named themselves Fleetwood Mac as an ode to Mick Fleetwood and John McVie, okay? Mm-hmm. But John McVie wouldn't even commit to being in the band at first.
Sounded almost like a dick move. Maybe not a dick move so much, but, you know, here's this band fleeing. Please be in our band. We'll dedicate half of the name to you. And he's like, I don't know.
Right, exactly. It was a little strange, you know.
Sure.
That kind of surprised me. And apparently they were more of a blues band at first.
He was playing hard to get. That's what it is.
And then gradually shifted their sound over the years, so...
Okay.
Yeah. That's about as interesting as Fleetwood Mac gets. Definitely not my music.
No, not so much. Pretty wispy, wienery, wavy rock and roll, if you can even call it. I guess it's kind of like rock and roll. It's real adult contemporary / Light 104.1.
There you go.
It's Delilah. I'll dedicate this to your husband. I can't say I'm too big of a Fleetwood Mac fan. I think my mom had all their albums. And I don't know. They're always in the house, like Rumors, obviously, and many, many others that I didn't care enough about to look at. I was 5 years old rocking my Huey Lewis album.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't much better in some people's opinion.
It is, though. It's a lot better. But
Actually, the reason that I brought up Fleetwood Mac in the first place, after Dusty said he wanted to talk about music, I said, well, I had fun doing the music show from a while back, and then I mentioned the arts and culture class that I had, where the girl said, in reference to the Rolling Stone top 100 singers of all time list, that Stevie Nicks wasn't even the third best singer in her own band.
Right.
If you remember, the professor for this class, Don McLeese, who's been a pop music critic for 30 years of his life in major publications across the country, including Rolling Stone, said that Freddie Mercury, who was number 18 on the list and would be at least top 5, if not top 3 on my list, not top 2. This man, Don McLeese, said he wouldn't even be in my top 100.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
What's
There's
that?
No way you can come up with 100 better singers than him.
Yeah, he's amazing. Freddie Mercury was amazing, and he was perfect for what he did.
Yep, exactly.
So this professor, every once in a while, will make a jab at me for liking Huey Lewis, but he reminded himself and me, because he told me this once before, and he said this at this banquet that we had, so my mom was there. There was a scholarship banquet from a few weeks ago. He said, I know I make fun of you for liking Huey Lewis, but when I was young, you know, whatever, 8, 10, something like that, he said, I was the biggest Perry Como fan.
Oh, my God.
To the point where I insisted that my parents call me Perry.
Oh, no. Wow.
No room to talk.
I
What's
like
your,
Huey Lewis, though.
What's that?
I liked Huey Lewis, though.
Yeah. Oh, my God. How could you not?
Mm-hmm.
It was poppy. It was solid. Yeah. It was good, you know. It was really good instrumentation. Mario on the bass, kicking ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved their rhythm section. They always came up with catchy hooks.
Yep.
You know, you can sing along to it. It's definitely far from the worst that you can do.
Yeah, oh my God, of course. The kid, Chris Hayes, wailing away on the guitar.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Johnny on the saxophone. Yeah, just an amazing
Murphy
band.
Is Spider Murphy on the tenor saxophone? Or
yeah. Bleeding Gums Murphy.
Right.
Blood and Guts Murphy. It was Bleeding Gums. That guy getting his appendix taken out at the hospital when Lisa and Bleeding Gums are playing saxophone. Dr. Hibbert stitches the word jazz into the guy's stomach.
That's right.
This is your grandfather! Sorry.
One of these days we should do a Simpsons audio also.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If I thought Finish Line even knew that we existed, then I would suggest he be on the show.
I haven't seen anything from him in a long time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wonder if he disappeared to, like, Greatness Land or something. I don't know.
I haven't logged on to the other place where Finish Line might be in ages. I think you told me to log in last time, or maybe Morno Maurer told me to log in. I can't remember.
Okay. Well, shout out to Maurer. He's a good guy.
Yeah, of course.
There's a shout out.
What else musically? What musical skeletons are in your closet, Dusty? Which, you know, I say that, but honestly, why call anything a guilty pleasure? Why should anybody feel guilty for liking things that you find pleasure in?
Right. I liked it, so it was good to me.
What did your parents call her? What did you make your parents call you when you were a little kid?
nothing like that, but I don't know. The first big thing that I got into was hair metal, you know? I liked Motley Crue, Def Leppard, and Van Halen. Those were my three favorite bands. Mm-hmm.
And they were definitely, let's see, well, Motley Crue certainly the whiskiest of the bunch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, not that Diamond Dave wasn't either, but...
I don't know, though. Diamond Dave was like a man's man, you know?
Yeah.
It's thing like that to get the chicks kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll defend Diamond Dave until my, you know, dying breath. I think he's awesome, but...
absolutely. If you're going to pick any hair metal, I mean, you could have said Poison. You could have said Rat. But no, you said Motley Crue and Van Halen. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's what I was into. I mean, the first album I bought, I remember this. It was Dr. Feelgood.
Nice.
So.
What? How'd you gravitate toward that style of music?
Oh, my friends were listening to it. One of my friends, Nick, had like a younger dad.
Ah.
Because his mom remarried.
Uh-huh.
And his dad turned us on to that music, I think, more than any. Mm-hmm.
Was it like a Linda Hogan, Charlie Hill sort of thing? Cooler, younger 19-year-old dad.
It was, no, not 19.
Okay.
And that's amazing that I said Charlie Hill because that was the name of one of my friend's dads.
Oh, that's funny.
Charlie Hill, yeah. That's kind of a blast from the past. I haven't thought of him in a long time. Being a little heavier than most kids growing up, and not the most athletic, but you know, I'd play little league baseball because I thought it was fun. You know, I warm the bench. You know, who cares? You know,
sure.
But old Charlie Hill would pick me like way, way early every year because he liked me. So
that's cool.
You know, putting himself at risk of losing because he missed out on better kids. So.
It's all right. He was right to pick you because he liked you.
Yeah, it's all about having fun.
Yep. If I could have anybody on my team, if I was picking a basketball, all-time basketball team, I'd pick Dusty Ebing first and then maybe Michael Jordan.
I don't know about that.
Because I know who would make my team fun.
Michael Jordan would make your team fun. With his illegal gambling habit.
Yeah. Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Cigars and gambling.
That's golf, right.
Afterwards.
See, that's I was talking to, who was I talking to about this? It might have been Wizard. We used to know everything about basketball players.
Yeah.
We know that Michael Jordan smoked cigars, played golf, and had a gambling habit, you know?
Yep.
We know that Dennis Rodman wore dresses and drank alcohol and was a weird guy, you know?
Yep.
What the hell do we know about LeBron James?
Yeah, no, you and I talked about this because you said, what do we know about LeBron James? What do we know about Kobe Bryant? And I just responded, rape. Like,
right,
that's all
yeah.
I need to know about Kobe Bryant. Once we've gotten past that character flaw, there's really not much else to talk about.
And I had forgotten about that. I forgot all about Eagle Colorado. But you're right. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know about Kobe.
Yeah. But
every offseason, we always have to read bullshit about, oh, I'm such a team player.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting along with my team better than ever. That bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe doesn't give a crap about his team.
Hell no. Get him another title. Get him another endorsement, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Get him a few more $1 million.
Yeah.
How did the Lakers win today? Last I saw, they were up by 20 on the Rockets with 10 minutes to go in the game. Okay.
They won. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I passed out.
So, down to the final four in the NBA.
Yeah. What do we have? Houston and the Lakers. Wait a minute. Who are we left with? See, that's the thing. Okay, you say, back in the day, we used to know everything about basketball players. Back in the day, I used to know everything about basketball. I'm like,
sure.
Denver
mm-hmm.
Nuggets. Who's been the fucking Denver Nuggets content for anything?
Right. Well, it was... I think they said 84 or 86 was the last time they were a serious contender.
Wow, that's bad.
So it's been over 20 years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shows what I know, though. I don't pay attention at all.
Right. They've got a weird team, the Nuggets.
Really?
Yeah, they're the closest thing to, like the Bad News Bears or whatever. Just a weird hodgepodge of people, you know?
They actually have Tatum O'Neal on their team?
He might be there on the bench somewhere. I don't know. So we're down to four, and we got on one side, we got the Lakers against the Nuggets.
Yep.
And then on the other side, I'm actually looking it up. I didn't get to see the end of it.
Yeah, that's true. He's the Celtics.
Boston playing against the Orlando Magic, and the winner is taking on Cleveland. So.
Yep. I don't know. It's time for LeBron to win his title, I think.
Yeah, it's time.
Then maybe we'll learn something about him.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be really interesting if he opened up after they won. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Yep. Hell, Michael Phelps just won his 8 gold medals about a year, less than a year ago. We know he's a pothead.
Yeah. I was going to say, he was flying high after that one. Mm-hmm.
We know what he listens to on his iPod. On his fancy listening contraption.
Right.
Fucking LeBron James is supposed to be the savior of the NBA, and I don't know anything about him.
Right. I'd like to know what music he listens to.
Yeah. LeBron, LeBron James, what is your favorite Huey Lewis in the News record?
Sports.
No, actually, it's Small World.
Oh, really?
Huh. Okay, well, the less we know about LeBron, the better.
Right.
When you have an album called Small World, and the two singles off the album, one is called Small World and the other one's called Perfect World.
Uh-huh.
It might be time to take a rest.
Yeah.
The follow-up to four should not have been Small World.
No.
It should have been the album with a couple days off on it.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And you hit me like a hammer. I'm not lying to you. Every time I hear the song, You Hit Me Like a Hammer, I think of Greg the Hammer Valentine.
I believe it.
Like, WWE should have bought the rights to that song and made a music video Memphis style for Greg the Hammer Valentine's babyface turn in 91.
Like it. How did he turn babyface anyway?
I think the turn started at the Royal Rumble in 91 when, It was Dino Bravo and Bret Hart were 1 and 2, right? Or maybe in the opposite order, whatever, it doesn't matter. And Valentine came out third and then dumped Dino Bravo.
Yep, that's right.
And that was the beginning, because Jimmy Hart was all pissed off on the apron.
Yep. And Valentine grabbed him by the lapel.
The lapel, yep.
down. I remember that now because I said to you one time, I was watching it, like, he turned babyface, basically, but then spent the rest of the show as a heel.
Yeah. They must have just forgot.
Yeah, a little weird booking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it takes him 38 hours to to remember what his fucking gimmick is. Actually, kind of funny that we could, we talked about maybe doing a review of Judgment Day since none of us did a preview of it. I don't even know, I didn't watch it because I was asleep, but we could talk about maybe something like a write-up on .net or the Torch or something. But speaking of babyface turns that kind of came out of nowhere, can we just bitch about John Morrison's babyface turn for a second?
Okay.
Is he a babyface out of necessity right now? Is SmackDown lacking in faces so badly that John Morrison, who nobody really likes that much, I mean, we all appreciate his wrestling, and he's got a good character, and his intro's cool because they make it in slow motion.
Right, but nothing about his character is a babyface.
No, not at all.
At all, yeah. No.
And is it the fact that Miz kicked him one time? And now Miz is such a good heel that, oh, okay, well, that means John Morrison must be a babyface.
I guess. That must be their thinking.
I don't know.
It's really, really poor thinking. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. If they're on the same brand, I could see that maybe, because there'd be a natural feud.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like Lance Cade and Trevor Murdoch. Lance Cade attacked Trevor Murdoch. Trevor Murdoch goes to SmackDown, and it's like, okay, so are we just supposed to naturally just cheer for him? Because his partner beat him up, and then he moved somewhere else.
Right.
But
yeah, wrestling's strange like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
there's really not a good answer for that, the Morrison quandary.
Yeah.
I definitely don't agree with it.
No, they give him nothing to, I like to always say, sink his teeth into. There's literally, like, no, like, good, solid reason for him to turn babyface and for us to take it seriously. Oh, his partner turned on him, so what? Happens every day.
Right, right.
There's no reason that he can't be a heel on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And it's easily the best way for him to come up through the ranks.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm assuming Rey Mysterio after tonight is still the Intercontinental Champion. Yeah, let's see what happened on the PPV. Who did the J-O-B on the PPV?
Oh, God. Okay,
now. Yeah, sorry. That would have been a fine Intercontinental title feud right there, Rey Mysterio and John Morrison.
Yeah, nice.
Yup, but WWE crammed down our throats as they may.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
I remember reading Jim Cornette's first commentary on his website.
And by first, you mean only so far, and
but,
it's almost a month
well,
old?
He is supposedly working on number 2 as we speak, but...
Okay, good.
Knowing him and technology, it might take 3 years to get it done. Why
a cell phone? I gotta take a fucking picture. I know what the shit looks like. I can describe it. It's right there in front of me. Why does a fucking cell phone have to have a ringtone on it? How do you stare at heaven when you call me? I can see your fucking name on the phone. Why does the phone have dead numbers? Why can't I just yell? Okay, Cornette, calm down. Blood pressure, high blood pressure medicine, cool. That interview, I think it was with Keenan where he was bitching about cell phone. Why would you bitch about a fucking cell phone?
Mm-hmm.
I want to take a fucking picture. okay, fucking let me give you your fucking stone and chisel there, caveman Cornette.
Right. Yeah, okay. He's like 80 before his time. Really was.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Like ancient before his time kind of guy.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah. So you were saying that you were reading on his blog?
Oh, yeah, yeah, no.
Sorry.
Brian Gewirtz or whatever.
Oh, God.
Well, they were criticizing one of his booking decisions, and he was like, well, you don't know good comedy. And Cornette was like, well, wrestling shouldn't be comedy. It should be fucking wrestling.
Yeah.
You can sprinkle comedy in there, but the whole segment shouldn't be focused around comedy.
Yep. Yeah.
With some bullshit, you know, just something Rick that
Flair
had nothing to do with wrestling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Ric Flair cutting promos on TBS every week.
Yeah.
It was funny because
right.
Ric Flair was such a fucking great character. He could go out there and wing it for 2 minutes.
Yep.
Be entertaining, quick-witted. Even if some of it was catchphrases, that's fine because the way he delivered them was great.
Exactly.
But it wasn't like at the end of it, you didn't expect to hear ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-ba.
Right.
It's not meant to be comedy, like you just said.
Right.
It's meant
exactly.
to be entertaining.
What you got to understand is...
Oh, I remember it to this day. It was entertaining.
I swear to God.
He was red as a bead. The particularly red bead there, Vince Russo. Something else that's red is a beet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, Brian Gewirtz, whatever. He's a fucking downfall. Him and Kevin Dunn, fuck those guys.
Yeah, definitely.
The downfall of wrestling.
They need to get the comedy writers out of there. And I don't necessarily agree with Cornette that you had to have been a wrestler or a manager to be a writer.
Right.
But they definitely need to change who they have now, you know?
Yeah.
I
think a part of what that mindset is, and, you know, it's come up a million times, we've never taken a bump. I think part of the mindset is, if you've never made a living as a professional wrestler, then you don't have a 100% grasp of what it takes to write or
right.
to book a show. And I don't even agree with that completely. But it kind of
I don't
sense.
Have to I don't have to know how to cook to know that you just burned the souffle, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to people rag on Dusty Rhodes and his booking, but in his defense, as a wrestler, he drew millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then as a booker, he drew millions and millions of dollars.
Right. Exactly.
Even like even a Michael Hayes, you know, he drew a ton of money in Texas, Oklahoma.
Oh yeah. Mhm.
So I'm sure he drew money in Charlotte too a little bit.
Sure.
But so, you know, he earned the spot that he has on the WWF writing team, WWE, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get a clown like Brian Gewirtz, who just kind of shows up out of nowhere as a comic book fan.
Just some comic book nerd, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, I don't know. And again, I don't completely agree with the idea that if you've never drawn money, you don't know how to draw money. Vince Russo, mm-hmm. what the fuck did he do? He ran a video store into the ground, and he had a shitty radio show. He
loser
came in and,
video store.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came into WWE and turned things around. So, God, isn't it weird that, and we do this all the time, we talk out of both sides of our mouth when it comes to Vince Russo. We'll make fun of him in one heartbeat and then give him all the credit in the world in another.
I think the idea of Vince Russo is good.
Yeah.
You know? What Vince Russo stands for is good.
Yes.
He grew up a wrestling fan. He got the book, and he turned things around. He should be applauded for that.
Yes.
So. He's also a huge failure in the national. But he should be awarded for that.
He had sex with a woman a few times. They had a few kids. So as a biological father, he should be applauded.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this is not about Vince Russo. Please don't sue me, Vince. I'm making a general statement here. Then he beat the fuck out of his family, so he was a huge failure. So in one respect, he was very successful at procreating.
Yes.
I don't know. Bad analogy.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Okay. What happened at Judgment Day, Dusty? You're by a computer. You can probably tell me better than I can staring at my steering wheel.
Well, we were yakking about God knows what. You got Borophil guy talking about God knows what. And she's trying to make out with me. I pulled up the results, courtesy of pwtorch.com. Thank you, James Caldwell.
Yep.
We love you.
Of course.
First match, CM Punk versus Umaga.
Ah, the hometowner, CM Punk.
Yes.
In Chicago.
Guess who won?
Okay, well, first, before I guess who won, I will say this. I checked for tickets to Judgment Day on Thursday, even though I knew I couldn't afford to go. On Thursday evening, there was still one seat in the third row on the floor available. It was $200. If I had $200, I'd be like, fuck these exams. These kids can wait to get their final exams graded. I'm going to roll to Chicago and go to Judgment Day. And I have the feeling that had I gone to Judgment Day, why do I have this feeling that I would have seen CM Punk lose?
Because he did.
Did he seriously lose?
Yep, he lost.
Umaga
won.
Fuck? What the fuck?
Let me defend this, okay?
Okay, yep.
It looks like they're choking down Umaga versus Mysterio.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's a reason number one. Reason number two is Umaga just came back less than a month ago, you know?
Yeah, that's true. If you're not going to have John Morrison as a heel, you better get somebody else strong in there.
Right. They don't have a killer heel right now, you know?
And I love Umaga, and everybody knows that, so it's okay. It's just too bad it came at the expense of Punk.
Yeah, well, sure. And the other thing I came up with here is reason number three. If Punk is going to get a title, right, because he's XXX, Mr. Motherfucking Money in the Bank, XXX. Umaga can say, hey, I got a win over you, you know?
Yeah,
so there's
he
a natural title match down the line.
Mm-hmm. Kane can say the same thing. Kane pinned CM Punk at Backlash.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, yeah, that's a good point.
Smart
he can run the gamut of challenge. I'm sorry?
So fairly smart booking, I would say.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see rationale. I love Punk. I don't like to see him lose.
I would like Punk more if he was a heel.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
he's a great heel.
Yeah, definitely. I just feel like that's a better utilization of him.
Yeah. He's over, though. I'll say that, and then somebody else will counter with. He gets booed a lot lately, like a lot more than usual. But he still gets a really good pop crowd.
Sure.
I think they like him as a babyface now, but yes, with the right angle, he would make a great heel in WWE.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so backstage, Vicky Guerrero was watching the action on the monitor. Then Chavo walked in with some good news that Cena had been medically cleared to wrestle tonight.
Oh, boy.
She then shot the info over to Big Show, who was off camera sitting on the couch. Show got up and said, already lost Triple H on Raw, and now she's going to lose John Cena, too. Said it's not good for business to have all these fans leaving the arena bitter and disappointed. This company is bigger than any one individual, Vicky shot back. You take him out and someone else will step up and take his place.
Oh, my God. They actually admitted that on TV?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's fascinating. So that leads into match number two, Christian versus Jack Swagger. And Christian won in about 10 minutes.
Okay. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with Christian winning.
Which is good. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Swagger will, I don't know, this is the second, let's see, this is the second pay-per-view in a row he's lost to Christian, I believe. Last month he lost the ECW title to him.
Yeah.
ECW is such a small roster that on one hand I worry that it's hard for somebody like Swagger to come back strong.
Right.
But on the other hand, I feel like I should have enough confidence in Jack Swagger that I shouldn't have to worry about it.
If they move on now and put him into a new program, I think he'll do well, you know?
Yeah. Well, maybe he can be the guy who retires Tommy Dreamer or something.
Yep, that's exactly what I was going to say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and then I watched ECW last week. I think it was the only show I caught last week.
Sure.
They had a video package for Vladimir Kozlov, and they had him win a squash.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Just give up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Guy's a turd. So, I mean, Christian will have something to do now. Hopefully
yeah.
Swagger will, too.
Right. Okay, shuffling along. Backstage.
Sure.
Backstage, Chavo was eavesdropping in Vicky's office, and Edge walked out, and Chavo wanted the scoop. Edge says he doesn't need a reason to talk to his wife, he was just talking to her. Chavo started to defend himself, but Edge said he needs to man up and start defending on Vicky from the crossdressers on Raw. Edge called him an embarrassment and walked off. Chavo huffed and puffed. Okay.
Aw, poor Chavo.
There's that. In the crowd were Jay Cutler and Brian Urlacher
of
the Chicago Bears. Mm-hmm.
Cool. And in the concession stand was Steve Mongo McMichael of the Chicago Bears.
Am I getting some nachos? You darn right, baby.
Baby, I ain't no cream puff, baby, but I'm gonna eat one. Bobby the stain on my shirt is mustard from the 20 hot dogs.
Oh my God.
We ain't talking about farm implements, baby. Jesus. Goddamn Mongo.
Fucking Mongo, yeah. Match number three. Morrison versus Shelton Benjamin.
Okay. Athletic contest, to be sure.
Athleticism on display. Mm-hmm. And Morrison won in about 10 minutes.
Okay, how long did the first match go, the Punk Umaga match?
Punk Umaga lasted about 12.
12, okay. So we're averaging
eight
about the same.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Okay. Let's see. No, Benjamin doesn't have a belt. Well, it's kind of interesting that they put this match on a pay-per-view. No belts, just two guys working their way up the ladder.
I like it. That's
Shelton,
nice.
Shelton, who's been pretty much doing the running man on the same rung of the ladder for the last 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ah, that poor guy. There's just, God, I wish something would happen for him, because he's so good, and he's not that bad of an interview either.
He's just not clicking.
Yeah, there's something not quite there. And I don't know
mm-hmm.
if it's, is it between him and the crowd? Is it between him and the writers? Do the writers just not, can they not, like, dig something up for him? I mean, the mama thing was just preposterous.
I think it's got to be the writers. Because the fans will accept you if you're doing something good, you know?
Yeah. Hell, he's just as, okay, hang on.
Okay.
I was going to say he's just as good of a wrestler as Chris Benoit. That's not right. He could be portrayed as just as good of, like, an amateur wrestler turned pro wrestler as a Kurt Angle. You could say
sure.
it, and he could, you know, he's a great wrestler. He might not be a Kurt Angle level, but he's great, and you could say
sure.
that he is, and people might buy into it after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't shy away from having somebody who is, quote-unquote, the best wrestler on the roster. Well, I guess Jericho says that. Doesn't Jericho say, I'm the best wrestler in the world?
I think so.
The last fucking thing that guy did, he doesn't wrestle anymore. He fucking talks.
Right, right.
Give the best wrestler in the world gimmick to Shelton Benjamin.
Okay.
The wrestler.
Right.
The guy with the amateur credentials and the work rate tildy bang and all this stuff.
I think he's miscast as a heel. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
I think if he were a babyface, people would connect with him.
Oh, absolutely. In 2004, he had that... Man, maybe he had one of the matches in 05, too, but that three-match series, it was spread out a while, but that he had with Triple H.
Yes.
People loved him.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Right, well, he beat Hunter twice, right? Didn't he pin him once and win by count-out another time or something like that?
Yep, something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was great. And how did they capitalize on it? Oh, wait, I don't have an example of how because they didn't.
Because they didn't, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And at the time, giving him the Intercontinental title to placate everybody, that was no reward. 2005, the Intercontinental title didn't mean shit.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, so that's interesting. There's a match where the roles would have been reversed, but it would have made more sense. John Morrison is a cocky upcoming heel against Shelton Benjamin, the established babyface.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay.
Then that match would have been perfect. Mm-hmm.
Yep. As it stands, it was the third match on a card full of 10-minute matches.
Exactly.
Okay.
So then, here, this is funny.
Backstage, Chavo Guerrero.
No.
Okay.
Miz comes to the ring for a promo.
Oh, good.
First, he wants to recognize Marty Jannetty, John Morrison, as the winner of the match.
Oh, nice.
He says this won't be the first time he tops the Morrison performance.
Okay.
He said he knows Cena won't answer his challenge tonight. He then shot down the what chance, saying people sound like a bunch of ducks. That's good.
Funny.
I hate the what chance. Fans responded by chanting, you suck at him. He said that since he can't challenge Cena tonight, he's going to challenge a replacement. He said Cena's like a lovable loser, just like the Cubs. That's good.
Oh, that's true, but that's kind of, I mean, cheap heat. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, to counter that point, where better to do that than Chicago?
Right, right.
A bunch of fucking idiots march behind the Cubs in line like goddamn sheep. Sorry. You're going to get an arena full of 18,000 people on your ass for saying something like that. So that's probably, it's okay, I guess, that he tried to go for the cheap heat in Chicago because it probably came across well.
Sure, sure. Well, apparently star outfielder Alfonso Soriano was in the crowd. And
oh, my God. Okay.
He started going off on him for a while. And then Santino comes out.
Okay, I'm sold.
Miz wanted to know what he wants. Santino went in and out of the Santina character.
Oh, Jesus.
He said he won't let Miz talk like that no more. See, Soriano is a fellow Italian. Not really, but Alfonso went with it. Santino said they can have some pasta and make fun of Steve Bartman. He said there are so many people in WWE who look like animals. Vicky Guerrero, Vladimir Kozlov, and Miz. Miz then jumped Santino, and they had a wild brawl with the fans doing yay, boo, when neither of them took the advantage. Miz finishes him off with a DDT and reminds us of scoring the 4-0 record against Cena and his surrogates.
Okay.
Miz left the ring, then Chavo comes out.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And shouts down Santino. Chavo starts to leave, but then he went up top and nailed an ugly-looking frog splash. And yelled at Santino before leaving. Can Chavo just leave?
God, I hope so.
Can Chavo just leave now? Are we done?
I didn't.
Are we done with Chavo?
If I would have, okay, in hindsight, if I would have spent $200 on a third row ticket to Judgment Day, and it would have been the fucking Chavo Guerrero variety hour, I would have rioted. I would have thrown my chair at Keith Lipinski and hope it would have bounced off his head into the ring.
He would have felt he'd be writing notes.
Just completely oblivious. Oh, sorry, impervious. There you go.
Oh, no, we're 3-for-3 on Chavo appearances. This is ridiculous.
Yeah,
this is fucking ridiculous.
Wow.
Okay, next match. Mysterio versus Jericho.
Uh-huh.
The Intercontinental title.
The prestigious.
The prestigious! And Mysterio wins in 12 and a half minutes.
Oh, big surprise with the time of the match. Okay.
Gutman, or not Gutman. Oh, my God, I said Gutman. I apologize to Caldwell. Caldwell said it was an excellent pay-per-view match and gave it 4 stars. So,
huh, all right.
That'll be definitely something to try to get a hold of. Whether
I don't know how you do that.
Otherwise, yeah. Or
right.
You'd have to buy the DVD, Eric. That's how.
Oh, that's right. I'll go to Walmart in a month or so and see if it's available.
Yeah, exactly how I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I'm going to go find it on digital video disc.
Especially now that I don't have a job. I'm just going to throw all my disposable income in to get Judgment Day on DVD. Yeah.
Sure. That makes perfect
sense.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to invite my neighbors over to watch it. Hey, guys, I got this great new laser disc. I can see those two. What's that?
No, go ahead.
Oh, I can see those two having a good match. I can see those two having a 4-star match, honestly.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad. I think Jericho's role is pretty solidified at this point. He is like the heel version of, and I'm kind of stretching for an analogy here, but it'll make sense. When WWF brought Jimmy Snuka back in 1989, or what, like, Tito Santana became around 89, 90, and then with El Matador. Established veteran, people still take him seriously, but he puts everybody over.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a very good role for Chris Jericho now. He's been a main eventer for years. He can put people over, you know, even if it is Rey Mysterio, who's been a headliner too. But no, this is a great role for Jericho.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. I totally see him in that role, too.
Yep.
Because he's always going to be over, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. He'll always be over. He'll always be taken seriously. Like, okay, every 3 or 4 weeks, JBL would get a world title shot on Raw. And that got a little grating.
Because
some people,
he never won.
Yeah,
he never
exactly.
won, and all of a sudden he's in a title match? Come on.
Yeah. And some people bought it, but a lot of people didn't. I think with Jericho, I think if you took that approach but spread it out a little bit more, then he could be effective in that sort of role. He could be a Monday Night Raw world title match sort of guy every couple of months. But, so that's good. Not Raw. He's on SmackDown now. So, okay, anyway. Same role, different brand, what have you. What did you say they were looking to do, a Mysterio Umaga thing?
Yeah, that's what Caldwell was saying earlier.
Okay, interesting.
In his review.
What do you make of that?
That's okay. That's interesting.
Big guy beating up little guy?
I don't remember them ever having a match, so...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if their paths ever really crossed.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Umaga was pretty much on Raw the entire time Rey was on SmackDown.
I think so.
Or they were on separate, I should say they were on separate brands pretty much this entire time until now. Especially with Umaga being injured for the last however long.
Sure.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, thankfully we don't get Chavo after this match.
Oh, my God. Jesus, thank Christ.
It's a video package, and then they interview Orton.
Okay.
And that leads to Orton versus Bautista for the WWE title.
Yep.
Now, interesting here, Caldwell writes, 70-30, crowd split, cheering for Bautista. And then when Orton comes out, it's 95-5 boos for Orton.
Why would you even point out the 5% cheaters?
Right, right. It couldn't have been that significant.
No, that's pretty standard, I would think.
Yeah.
I would imagine even in Hulk Hogan's heyday, there was still probably 5% of the crowd that if they weren't booing, they were just sitting down like, wow, what a clown.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
Unless the vocal 5% of the crowd happened to be sitting next to the microphone.
Right, right. All right, well, Bautista won in about 15 minutes. Wait for it.
No. By DQ, he got himself disqualified because he's an animal. Oh, wait. Mm. No, wait. Randy Orton got himself disqualified. Sorry.
Because he's an animal.
Because he's an animal. He's a viper.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
He's a venomous cobra.
Oh, shit.
I was led to believe that the snake had been devenomized by the lab. Furthermore...
Oh, no! I don't think that snake has been devenomized!
I accept Jake the Snake Roberts' word at face value.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, he's a snake. Don't trust him, dipshit.
Why would you take the guy who turned heel and sicked his snake on somebody? Why would you take that guy's word?
Yeah, no kidding.
What the fuck?
Well, I thought he was a stand-up citizen.
He complimented my tie. Okay.
He was correct when he said I got it at a soup line.
How did you know, sir?
Because it's in your fucking future, Jake the Snake Robert.
I got it in the back alley somewhere. Okay, cool.
Nice.
Okay,
okay. Bautista wins, not the champion. Randy Orton gets DQ'd. I suppose, what's the June pay-per-view?
Extreme Rules.
Oh, great. So are we gonna get some sort of no disqualification match between Bautista and Randy Orton?
That wouldn't surprise me at all. I don't know what I'm doing.
It's extreme. I don't know.
It's a lock and load type situation.
God. Cool. I don't know. I can't imagine the match was... What did Caldwell give the match? How did he say it was?
He said it was 3 stars. Really nice storyline-driven match. Not the most aesthetically pleasing, but both men put in a nice effort, and Orton plays the snake heel role very well. Flashes of great wrestling storytelling at times. Flair's surprise return. Oh, I forgot to mention that.
Whoa.
Was a memorable moment.
What did he do?
Let's go and see where Flair comes in. Okay, post-match. So he gotten disqualified. Legacy storms the ring to help Orton with a 3-on-1. Ric Flair's music hits. Caldwell, this might be the greatest thing he ever wrote. Suddenly, Ric Flair's music hits. Oh, snap.
Oh, snap. Wow.
Flair stormed the ring in dress clothes as the announcers freaked out about him being there. Flair looked to be in great shape as he fought off the Legacy. Bautista dropped Orton with the Bautista bomb. Flair ripped off a round of chops on everyone. Huh. Flair then helped Bautista up, and they had a stare down with Bautista smiling. And then Caldwell goes on to speculate that maybe next month it'll be Bautista, Flair, and Hunter against Legacy.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That would make sense, absolutely.
Yep. That would be fine by me. I know Flair, he just recently made the comment that he wanted to wrestle again.
Yep.
Which, I mean, seriously, buddy, your time is up, man.
I feel like I'm talking to Brett Favre. It's the same thing.
Yeah, no shit.
Your time is up, man.
Just hang it up. But, you know what, I'll forgive the occasional match here and there, especially if it's a WWE match, I'm not going to lie. I would hate to see him wrestling in a high school gym.
If it's WWE and it's promoted well and it's against a good opponent, it's fine as long as it doesn't happen on a regular basis.
Yep, yep.
He will not tarnish his legacy like Mick Foley.
Oh, my God, I hope not. I hope for his sake. I hope somebody even points that out to him.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing how he feels about Mick Foley, I don't care if they say they buried the hatchet. If you made that analogy to Ric Flair, look, you're going to turn into Mick Foley. Fuck that. I'm going back home. Woo!
Wrestlers are like women. They don't get along.
Yep. That's an even better analogy.
Mm-hmm.
They're catty.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Well, we'll see where that how that transpires. Well, that's not the word I was looking for. Did I explain on the air here that I can't put a sentence together anymore?
It's all the coke. You were so coked up that fucking day.
Dude, seriously, my brain is so fried. Like I said, when I got that $3,000 scholarship, so I'm gonna put about $1,700 of that towards school and the rest of it up my nose.
And that was just Saturday. Two more matches on this great show.
Great. That's about that time I'll be pulling into my driveway. That's awesome.
Okay, excellent. First one is Cena versus The Big Show.
Oh, yeah.
Exhibition.
Wink, nudge.
Mm-hmm. Cena won in 15 minutes.
All right.
Let's see here.
Which was the right choice, by the way. There's no reason for Big Show to win this match. I mean, Cena's, I don't know, he's getting harder and harder to believe as a superhero as the time goes on, but that's how they're trying to push him, so even if he just got medically cleared to wrestle 2 hours earlier.
Yeah.
Then this is the right way to go.
I was going to read how it finished here. Cena goes for the SDFU for a third time. Show shoos him away like a fly.
Yeah.
Show kicks him in the gut and tries for a powerbomb, but then dumps Cena back over his head with a front stomach drop.
Yeah, the alley-oop.
I'm reading this verbatim now.
Okay. I will.
Okay. Show called for a $5 footlong before clutching his right fist for the big turkey and cheese blow. Cena wanted an Italian BMT, and as he ducked the punch to transfer right into the FU, announcers came out of their seats as Cena followed through with an FU for the pin. After the match, Cena went over to Alfonso Soriano and hugged him.
Of course.
You can't see me, bit. Nice moment. Okay.
Where the hell did all that Subway stuff come from?
I have no clue.
Oh, my God.
I can tell you, though, that the $5 stacked, ridiculously high BLT sandwich made to your order at Subway is delicious and only $5.
Yes.
I point this out in an effort to get Subway to sponsor our show.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Hey, Subway, if you're listening, I honestly just had a foot-long oven roasted chicken breast today for lunch, and it was delicious.
The toppings
of
your choosing. Mm-hmm.
I got it with a little bit of lettuce, tomato, now that tomatoes are starting to come into season, pickle, and then one squirt of light mayonnaise down the middle and one squirt of barbecue sauce down the middle.
Nice.
On wheat bread, not toasted.
Delicious.
With provolone. Provolone is a must.
I'm an American fan, but okay.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. That's where you and I part, my friend.
All right.
But that's the great thing about Subway, is that you have your choice.
Well, that's the great thing about Stunt Granny.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Subway and Stunt Granny. I think we got a match made in heaven. So anyway.
And a match made in hell.
Speaking of matches made in hell, Jeff Hardy took on Edge for the World
Heavyweight Title. All right. Main event, baby.
Main event time, and Edge wins to retain
the
title. 20 minutes.
20 minutes, nice.
And Caldwell gave it 3.25 stars.
See, only a quarter star better than Batista and Randy Orton.
He says, would have been a show stealer and more memorable in the fifth or sixth spot on the show. In the main event spot, it was pretty good, but not a great pay-per-view title match. Had some high moments, and they changed the pace of the match to keep throwing new things at the viewers to hold their interest, but was not at the level of Edge versus Cena from the Backlash show.
Ah, yeah, which was good.
So, yes.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe it's just that certain pairings don't click with each other, you know?
Yeah. This might be one of them. I don't know. The thing that I will remember about Edge and Jeff Hardy are all the surprise finishes. Edge running out at the end of that one match, whatever it was, stealing away the world title. Jeff Hardy getting the surprise pin, I think, on Edge. Maybe. Obviously it's not that memorable if I'm babbling and can't remember who pinned who. I don't know. You're right. Some things just are meant to happen and some things just don't click.
Sure. I mean, 3.25 snowflakes isn't bad, though.
3.25 asterisk.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
3.25 Mark McGwire home run. Anyway.
3.25 edited words on the Torch form.
Yeah, 3.25 messages from Eric Nelson to Robert.
Yeah. Awesome. Goddamn. Mm-hmm. Too bad he's the smartest guy in the fucking history of the internet.
Oh, boy.
I wonder if he's actually yo stupid in the comments. Nah, he probably uses his own name. He's man enough to use his own name.
His own fake name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, wait a minute. What am I talking about? So, I don't know. I guess I could kind of agree with that whole placement on the card makes a difference. I shouldn't even try to dismiss that thought like that. It absolutely makes a difference where your match is on the card. But especially when you're wrestling, especially when your match is on the same card as Ric Flair's return. In fact, when you talked about that, I was going to suggest that should have been the last thing on the show. That should have been the main event for that reason.
I would say so. Mm-hmm.
And then,
if I'm looking at this card, I want Orton headlining anyway. You know?
Yeah. Yep. And I like
no offense to Edge, but
right. And I like Cena Big Show in that second to last spot. Cena's going to win, obviously. He's going to go pander to the crowd by hanging out with Soriano.
Sure.
It's an exhibition match, quote-unquote. So it's not for a belt. So it was in the right spot. If you would have swapped the Hardy Edge match with the Batista-Orton match, that would have made more sense placement-wise.
I think it would have been perfect. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because the rest of the card sounds okay.
Yeah, sure.
Mysterio Jericho was perfect. You know, in the fourth spot. Really cool that they did Morrison Benjamin.
And that they did it third.
Yeah. Everything else makes sense.
Yeah, Punk has to be the first match. If he's not the first match, he should be the last match.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I was just going to jokingly say, but what do we know? We've never drawn a dime in the wrestling business.
That's right.
I've lost money in the wrestling business. Who am I to say?
Yeah. Just like most fans have lost money.
Right. Mostly to Walmart in the form of DVDs.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so I guess this is your review of a Judgment Day by two guys who didn't actually see the show, but we did our part to comment on the booking and the futures, the future. Oh,
yeah.
My God. I'm such a mongoloid right now.
You fucking creep.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
sorry, I just got that hot 16-year-old chick with the yellow sweatshirt in my brain. She's playing tricks on my mind, man.
By hot 16-year-old, you mean perfectly legal 18-year-old.
Yeah, LOL, I'll pretend you said 18. But, yeah, anyway, that's how we roll on Stunt Granny these days, with the fucking lack of funds coming in.
Right.
We're going to comment on pay-per-views we didn't see because we feel that even though we've never taken a bump, we can still talk about the booking of the show and speculate on what's going to happen in the next month or so. And God
exactly.
damn it, we're good at it.
Exactly.
We're not.
And I've never I have never let lack of knowledge get in the way of having broad, sweeping, you know, generalizations that are proven incorrect over time, you know.
I'll never let the facts get in the way of a good story either.
Exactly. That's rule number one in journalism, isn't it?
Hell yes. When the facts become, was it when the legend, how does it go? Jimmy Stewart's line in Liberty Valance. It's like when the legend becomes fact, print the legend.
Okay.
I believe that's how the saying goes.
I like that.
All right. Well, on that note, should we call this a night? I'm about to pull into my driveway.
Hell yeah, pull into your driveway and drink some alcohol and crash, man.
Okay, sounds like a good plan, so thanks everyone for putting up with us. I'm out, peace.
All right, and thank you to Eric Nelson and to Subway's Delicious Sandwiches. This is Dusty Evink. This has been another edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. We'll try to do better next time.